CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Jonathan Lambert, a staff writer at Science News, reporting on the virus, not just now, and the vaccine, not just now, but over the last year and a half of our reporting on, at first, the mysteries of what is now called COVID-19. John, a very good evening to you. I begin with my memory, the earliest I can recall, just back from the holiday, January 6th, it was a Monday, and a colleague and I were reporting on China, and I saw an odd item in the South China Morning Post talking about an unknown pneumonia that was plaguing people in and around Shanghai, and it was also reported in Hong Kong. It was a puzzle. A week later, I had a physician on. We still didn't have a name for it. We didn't know what it was, to talk about the various kinds of flus and how in flu season you can't always be sure the vaccines work. That's my early memory. What is yours, John, of the first reporting you did?
Thanks for having me on. My first story on the coronavirus, which we didn't quite know back then that it was a coronavirus or that it was this particular coronavirus, was on January 10th. And I remember my editor coming to me talking about this outbreak of mysterious pneumonia-like illness that was happening in Wuhan, China, and suggesting that we bring our readers up to speed on it. And I thought that it would be a one-off story and that I wouldn't be covering it for much longer. And here we are more than a year and a half later.
Yes, a lot of bumps on the road in between, but we come now to where we are, which is the vaccine is in the world. Many vaccines, more coming. The double vaccination is dominant in the U.S. Other parts of the world are various. So we begin with John's reporting. We'll go to the U.K. first, because on Monday this week, the U.K. celebrated Freedom Day, which is the lowering of all mandates, the suggestion that masks are no longer necessary indoors, the amber color in certain countries, including France, which was very alarming to people who wanted a vacation in the south of France. And then it was a hot weekend in the UK, and everybody was outside enjoying the sun. However, there were lots of caveats, John. So what's your understanding now about the United Kingdom? Is it open? Is it partially open? Is it doubting?
My understanding is that they are still sort of proceeding with lifting a lot of these restrictions, despite the fact that the day before the quote-unquote Freedom Day, they logged or the United Kingdom logged for over 48,000 new cases, which was the most of any country. And so that has a lot of public health experts worried that they have this high caseload already, and proceeding to further open up is just going to add sort of more fuel to the fire.
I report from Scotland in these last hours that Scotland is seeing a spike as well. Nowhere near as profound as what they saw in January earlier this year, but that was before the Delta hit. The Delta variant is dominant here in the U.S. and in the United Kingdom. We'll go immediately to the other side of the world because Japan is much in the news with the Olympics. The last reporting I did from Japan was that the country was closed and that they'd worked through the first and second waves of the pandemic, but I have not seen up to date on the Delta, especially because the Olympics are at hand, and Olympics without visitors, without spectators. What is Japan's status, and is it Delta there as well, John?
Yes, the Delta variant is in Japan. Cases there have been sort of steadily increasing in the run-up to the Olympics, though sort of at a much lower level than some other parts of the world. They have about 3,000 cases per day there now. But in the country, only about 22-23% of the population is fully vaccinated. And so with this influx of people from all around the world, not spectators, but Olympic team members and coaches and people coming in for the Olympics, or to compete in the Olympics, there's a lot of worry that could spark a more serious outbreak there.
Yes, the puzzle here, this is Delta variant we're talking about. My information, and it's all anecdotal, I have not read the peer-reviewed papers yet. I really don't even know if they exist, but my information is that the fully vaccinated, doubly vaccinated, whether it's the RNA version, the Moderna or the Pfizer, whether it's the Sputnik V or the Johnson & Johnson, all of those are doing a good job of not blocking Delta entirely in many instances, but sharply reducing its effect upon the people who are sick. Is that your information as well, John?
Yeah, there is. Scientists are still learning exactly how well the various various vaccines work against Delta. But in general, they're holding up pretty well, especially in the mRNA vaccines like Pfizer and Moderna. I saw there's actually a paper published in the New England Journal of Medicine that looked at recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine that looked at vaccine protection against the Delta variant from around 4,000 cases, I think mostly in the UK, and found that people who had had two doses of the mRNA vaccine, that the vaccine had 88% effectiveness against any symptomatic infection, which is still pretty good.
Indonesia. I last read about this, I think, a week past. It was identified as the hotspot on the planet. Is that still true, John?
It is still certainly one of the places that's seeing the most cases per day. And it is the kind of main hotspot in Asia.
And right now, what is the vaccination rate there? Is it there are some countries where it's less than 1%. How are they doing?
Yeah, they're doing a little bit better than less than 1%. Only about 6% of people in Indonesia are fully vaccinated. But cases there are at a very high level, and last week more than 7,000 new deaths were reported and 350,000 new cases were reported. But the situation is likely a little worse there than is reflected by the testing, because about 30% of the tests that they do are coming back positive, which suggests that there's likely a lot more infection out there.
Right, and we don't have good numbers out of the subcontinent yet, because the virus moved into the countryside. I'm thinking of especially of India, but we could also include Bangladesh and Pakistan. And I'm presuming we don't have good numbers out of the countryside in Indonesia. So to be discovered, part of reporting on the virus, John, is to say what we don't know. And we go to Africa. That is less than 1%. And I was especially taken with the protests that happened recently in Johannesburg and Durban, because the pandemic is in South Africa. It's in Africa in general. But the reporting, do you see reporting that is confident of the numbers in Africa, John, or is it still to be discovered?
I mean, I think that there are testing probably isn't as widespread as public health experts there would like, but it certainly is better than it has been in sort of earlier stages of the pandemic.
And the vaccination rate is very low in Africa. But let's focus just entirely on vaccination. The vaccination is a remedy for the Delta variant. There are other variants that are possible. There are a lot of letters in the Greek alphabet.
Yeah.
So right now, we're still in the middle of the pandemic. Is that how you're treating it at Science News, John?
Certainly, yeah. And the longer that transmission is ongoing in large pockets of unvaccinated people, the more chance that the virus has to sort of splinter off into new variants, which could be even more transmissible than the Delta variant. And some experts worry that they might sort of evolve to evade existing vaccines.
Jonathan Lambert is a staff writer at Science News. Very helpful to have a conversation with somebody who's reported on this virus from the beginning, halfway through, midway through, just the beginning, unknown. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.